ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Nice win for the Rockets last night. From this perspective, they were tired. They were very sloppy for a long period of time. But the basketball gods smiled upon them, their defensive effort, and they took down Atlanta 100-96. They have a 1.5-game lead in the Southwestern Division, and they play the Grizzlies for the fourth and final time this year on Thursday. They have won all three games to this point against Memphis. Sloppy game. A win's a win. I thought that they showed some grit in it. They clearly looked tired from the start of the game. There was a lot of carelessness. There was a stretch where they seemed like a boa constrictor. They had squeezed all the life out. But then afterwards, much like a boa constrictor, for those who don't know about this kind of snake, not a venomous one, but a boa constrictor, these animals can swallow humans whole. They can swallow just about anything whole. And here's the thing. Once they swallow something, they're just going to sit for a really long time while they digest you.
So they just like sit there for like...
Oh, yeah. So they can't do anything. And the Rockets seem to be in a food coma after that little boa constrictor run that they had in the third quarter. Dan Paul, you're such a great illustrator of what happened.
I think you really did. You painted a nice picture.
And then they were kind of gassed. And at the end, yeah. I mean, they were a missed off the iron, off the top of the backboard, three away from potentially losing that one. But they did what they had to do. And I think they deserve credit for pulling one out here, because that would have been tough after having beaten Boston. In years past, I feel like they might have completely overlooked Atlanta. Well, there were moments in this game where you could say,
yeah, they started
looking
slow,
Atlanta. I thought this was a, all things considered, satisfying win, even if it's ugly.
And even if they would have lost like on that final three, the decision-making of Ime Udoka was the right process, was don't let Trae Young beat you. Let someone else take the three. Like, I'm not going to let Trae Young have an open three to win the game. Like, it's one of the best three-pointers in the league. Like, we're going to double-team him, trap him, like, not let him get the shot off, and he's going to have to pass it off to someone else who bricked it. So, like, it was the right decision in that moment, too. And I do love the final play. Like, to get the ball up court that fast without getting fouled, just sort of moving it, was a very impressive play. I mean, Amen Thompson, like, it was like a jump pass. And they could have called a foul there if they wanted to, because there was contact made, but even that play was like sneaky underrated. From
last yeah, it's a little bit of like, so it's just a small version of like why the Rockets are so fun. It's because it is the young guys kind of bouncing the ball back and forth to each other.
Yes.
You see a little bit of the quickness, you see the basketball IQ, and then it ends up wide open dunk for Şengün to ice it.
And it's also nice to just root for a team. If you are a Rockets fan, or if you are feeling a little frisky, you think, I mean, listen, I'm never going to give up on the Celtics, but can I be a Mormon? Can I have multiple teams?
I mean, I flipped.
Okay.
I watch my trash-ass team every night, but I'm kind of required.
Well, yeah, really? Chicago Bulls, like, they abuse you, so that's understandable.
But you can't jump off before the Buzelis era.
Right.
But, like, I definitely care way more about the Rockets than I do the Bulls right now. It's not even close.
If they trade Nick Vucevic, then you have my permission to jump off the Bulls bandwagon.
As I said yesterday, though, as a Celtics fan, watching this, it's fun to watch this team in a very young, nothing-to-lose phase. Because you're just going to enjoy every single game that you watch, especially from here on out as football season is pretty much done. This is a very satisfying entertainment option to have for the next couple of months, and we'll see what they do in the postseason. And you don't have a bitch like Trae Young on the court.
Fact.
You don't have a James Harden-esque character out there, and I get it. Some people enjoy James Harden. I feel like you didn't watch as many games as much as you might have had him in fantasy basketball, or you just like looking at his statistics and then trying to make him the MVP. He was never my MVP. I'll just leave it at that. But speaking of, hey, James Harden,
That used to be a franchise centerpiece. A man who was acquired via trade. When Daryl Morey, right before the beginning of the 2012 season, was able to steal James Harden away from OKC for basically nothing. It was a hell of a trade. And it worked out pretty well for the Rockets until they gave all the power to him and then he quit. But it's not about that. Let's talk about the future of the Houston Rockets. There's been a lot of chatter about trade for the Rockets of late. So De'Aaron Fox seems like he wants out and is trying to get traded somewhere. A couple of weeks ago, I think everyone would have said, man, Houston's an intriguing possibility because people want trades to happen and they want a good team who's fun to make a trade. But per just about every single basketball reporter, Mark Stein, Tim McMahon, Kelly Yeko from here in town, the Rockets are not interested. They're not looking at De'Aaron Fox. I think if they're not interested in De'Aaron Fox, they're not interested in Jimmy Butler, even if Chandler Parsons is out there with Michelle Beadle and Lou Williams promoting a possibility of, like, Jimmy Butler would fit in if he, you know, didn't ruin teams all the time.
Yeah, it's a big if.
I think they're going to stay together. Hell, even Bill Simmons, of all people, Mr. Oh, this trade would be fun. I'm going to talk about it on my podcast, is saying that the Rockets should keep it together.
Yeah, I think it's the right move to keep it together. Like, they should add to their team. Like, they should make a move here at the deadline. They should move Jock Landale or something like that for a reserve player, another, you know, center on nights when Steven Adams is not available, or you just need another depth piece. Like, someone that, like, Landale was fine last night, I guess, but I'd rather see Robert Williams out there. I'd rather see Jalen Smith is someone that I would look at from the Bulls. Like, he would make a lot of sense here. But, like, I don't know.
Bulls.
He's trying to pawn this off.
He's a good player. He came from the Pacers.
How many good players do the Bulls have?
He's a good bench player.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he's a good player. He's a good role player. But, like, I don't need them to trade for anything big right now. And I don't hate the idea of De'Aaron Fox. I understand it. But I'm just not ready to make that move right now. Like, I want to see what this team does.
Let's keep Tillman Fertitta in Italy at least till the trade deadline so that Patrick doesn't pull the trigger on De'Aaron Fox.
I don't think it matters where Tillman's at. I think Patrick just says what he wants.
Okay. Well, I hope that Ime Udoka stands over him. And it's pretty easy to stand over Patrick Fertitta. I could stand over Patrick Fertitta.
Can I?
I don't know about that.
Okay. I just didn't know.
I don't know.
I'm now just picturing Ime Udoka putting his, like, standing in front of Patrick Fertitta and putting his hand on his shoulder like he's Bane in Dark Knight Rises. Do you feel like you're in charge?
Yeah.
I feel like that's Ime and Patrick Fertitta's relationship.
But with all this trade talk, it got us thinking, who on the Houston Rockets are untouchable? And what level of untouchable are they at? Given that this is very soon going to be a loaded roster that does not have enough minutes to give out to everybody out there. Who are the Houston Rockets untouchables? I feel like to get things started, we should play a clip from the Kevin Costner, Robert De Niro, Sean Connery movie, The Untouchables.
You got nothing. Not a lot of talking of bad. You're here because you got nothing. You got nothing in court. You don't got the bookkeeper. You got nothing.
I love this theme song.
I forgot what this sounds like.
The whistle in the background gets a little bit annoying, so apologies in advance if it starts to get a little repetitive. But we had to set the mood. Who are the untouchable Houston Rockets? So let's just take a look at the Rockets roster and slowly move through it. Okay?
Okay.
We're not going to start off with, you know, the obvious best players here. Let's start. Jock Landale.
Trade him.
Touchable.
He is very touchable. Sounds kind of weird when you say it like that.
That's why I laughed.
A little strange. Okay. Steven Adams.
Touchable.
I don't know. I kind of like Steven Adams as a glue guy.
Touchable, but I would he's not the second most tradable guy.
Jae'Sean Tate.
Touchable, but I feel like you could get something for him.
What could you get?
Like a shooter type. Bench shooter, you know.
I agree that he's touchable.
The Jae'Sean Tate of shooters.
Yeah, basically. I kind of enjoyed last night.
He's good. Yeah. He's not bad.
Why doesn't he play more?
He's good. He's not bad.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he play more? Joe, don't turn into the Ty Washington truthers of online Rockets fans past.
Would never. Touchable.
I think, is it because he doesn't really play very much, so on the second night of back-to-back, he looks like he's going on 1.25 speed podcast?
That might be it.
Everyone else is just so tired that he's not.
Aaron Holiday. Touchable or untouchable?
I think
he's untouchable right now.
Yeah.
You need someone who can handle the ball. You only have two guys who really you trust to do it, Fred VanVleet and Aaron Holiday.
Touchable forward upgrade. If you're getting a better Aaron Holiday.
Yeah, like an Aaron Holiday, Jayson Tate combo trade that gets you an upgrade at backup point guard.
Lonzo Ball?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Good player, right?
Actually, very much so.
He's good. Yes. He just doesn't play it.
He plays a lot now.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
Okay.
Plays 24 minutes a game.
Okay, that's about all we need.
Well, he didn't play for 3 years, so it's a huge progress.
that's why I didn't think he played. So.
Yeah.
Quick complaint last night when it comes to ball handling. Jalen Green, that one moment.
A little sloppy.
At the very end.
And then the give up.
Yeah. That was rough. That was rough. Again, they were tired, and Jalen Green's played in 150 straight games. So.
Yeah, Aaron Holiday.
He's the most tired.
Yeah.
He's very tired.
Okay, so, I mean, to this point, we've gone through players who seem rather expendable. I'm not even going to mention Jeff Green, Jack McVay.
Untouchable.
It's the guy on the roster.
He's an Australian friend of Jock Landale.
Is he here to keep Jock Landale happy?
Yeah.
All right, let's start to talk about some real movable pieces, like Nafale Dante. I'm just kidding.
he's untouchable for the Summer League squad.
Okay, let's start with Cam Whitmore. Because Cam Whitmore clearly has a lot of talent. Maybe not the most enthused coming off the bench, but this team is winning. You would think that he will slowly appreciate that he's with this team that is winning, even if he wants to perhaps spread his wings somewhere. I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly. Is Cam Whitmore touchable?
Right now, for me, it's a no. Because I want to see if he can buy in the way that Jalen Green is bought in defensively. And because if he does that, then Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore might be your two best players in the roster.
Mm.
So I would not move Cam Whitmore right now unless Ime Udoka thinks that that's not possible for him to buy all the way in. Like, I got to deal. It's coach's choice right here.
If he's ready to pull the plug.
Yeah. Like, if he thinks that he'll never buy all the way in, then yeah, he's tradable.
I'm going to make a Celtics comparison here. Cam Whitmore reminds me of Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier had some really fun moments with the Boston Celtics, and I think he thought, especially once he started getting called Scary Terry, I think he thought he was the guy. And then he explored options elsewhere eventually. I think it was the Charlotte Hornets that he went to, right?
Yeah, he went to the Hornets.
So that's someone I think of. I think Cam Whitmore is touchable. 100% think he is. I get it. There's a lot of upside there. But if you are looking at yourself in the mirror and thinking, we got to add somebody, I feel like of all the pieces in the rotation right now, Tari Eason is my sixth man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Of the young guys, he's probably the most touchable. I don't know. It's hard to keep him out of a trade if you're going to make a De'Aaron Fox type trade. Obviously, we're not saying they should do it for De'Aaron Fox or do it before the deadline. But in the offseason, like if you're making one of these big swing trades, he's kind of the young guy that you feel most okay being a sweetener in that deal.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously, like right now, like you can't trade Jalen and Alby, which is, I think, a huge part of why they're for sure going to be quiet at the deadline. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, he's the guy you add in with picks.
Yeah, he's not like the headliner, but he's in there.
Yeah, those fans will be very excited that they got Cam Whitmore when they watch the highlights.
Or if he's somehow not, then he's rising up these rankings, and you're happy that he's in here taking the minutes that whoever you did trade has just opened up.
What Houston Rockets are untouchable? If you want to play along, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. We'll read some of your comments in a moment. Jabari Smith, I think he's touchable.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Totally agree.
It's been a rough 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Sitting, watching. It was after getting injured in a shootaround.
January 3rd, I believe, was the day he got hurt.
Yep. It was before the Celtics game.
Yeah.
That was the last time the Rockets looked, I think, awful. And since then, I mean, they've been awesome.
They have the best record in the NBA since January 5th, because that's when Amen Thompson joined the lineup. Because he was still suspended when Smith got hurt.
These are some stats from Howard Chen of ESPN. Since Amen Thompson became a full-time starter for the Rockets, they have the best record, the highest offensive efficiency, the second-best three-point field goal percentage in the NBA, and they lead the league in steals per game in that span.
Yeah. Some of that small, like the three-point stuff, that's small sample size. But the steals, and I think even like the offensive efficiency being higher, being better, I think that you can directly trace that to Amen Thompson. So, sorry, Jabari Smith, that we spent all this time talking about Amen Thompson during your part of the segment. But yes, he's probably the most touchable guy who the team has invested a lot. I mean, he's the most touchable of the top five picks that they have on the roster.
Yeah, like if the Rockets have made a trade in this hypothetical war for De'Aaron Fox, and it was Fred VanVleet's expiring contract and Jabari Smith, I'd be like, okay, cool. Because like you're taking the core group that's working so well right now, and you're adding Fox to it, like I'm fine with it. I don't think Jabari will be a long-term piece of this team. So he's tradable for me.
You mentioned Fred VanVleet, the expiring contract. Eventually, it's nice to move in a trade. He is very touchable.
Yeah, touchable. Don't really even need to talk about it. He's the guy that you're looking to upgrade off of if you get a star perimeter player. Yeah.
But we appreciate what he's doing.
100%.
Yes, absolutely.
He's 12 points in his last two games.
He's had some very good games shooting this year, and he has said this year, like, I don't care if I miss a ton. I don't care what people say online. I'm going to keep shooting. Okay.
And he's starting to make them. I think now he's up around 35%.
Dylan Brooks. Touchable?
Untradeable right now.
Franchise cornerstone.
That's not going that far.
I'm saying this is the kind of person you want to keep around as long as possible, a la Draymond Green. This is the attitude guy.
I thought you were going to go Marcus Smart there.
You can say Marcus Smart if you want to.
So we just keep him until like you're ready to win a championship. You keep him and win a title.
That's why I said Marcus Smart is because he's the upgrade spot. Him and VanVleet are the two that's like untouchable unless we get an opportunity to upgrade at that position.
Yeah, it's like Jimmy Butler. Like if you were going to trade for Jimmy Butler and it didn't involve any of your young players besides like a draft pick and then like Brooks or VanVleet, cool.
I want all the core players who have learned as much as they possibly can from Dylan Brooks, a la Anakin Skywalker with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I mean, after
before
the game,
they move on from Dylan Brooks.
After the game last night, he was like giving like a lesson to Tari Eason and Jabari, like as they were leaving the court, and he was like pointing at Trae Young. So I think he was like giving him a breakdown of like whatever happened there earlier in the game.
Tari Eason, 100% untouchable.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to move on from that guy. If the coach says he sees Kawhi Leonard in this guy, nope, you ain't moving him.
I think I would include him as tradable just because I think that if you were to move Tari, I think you're going to get a good player, a really good player in return.
Yeah, but he is a really good player.
No, he is. I want to lean on tradable, but I'm right there on the line.
I think for me he's the last guy before you go full on untouchable. Yeah. He is don't want to touch but touchable.
Yeah.
Next up, Reed Sheppard.
You can trade him.
He is touchable right now. I don't know what he is.
Yeah. I mean, I just in general, I'm not like I'm not ready to give up on him.
Yeah.
Exactly. He just isn't playing. Like, there's nowhere for him to play right now. He's undersized, and I mean, he's on the best team in basketball. You're not giving him minutes. Honestly, I feel like they should let him go to the G League and continue to put like 60-point games. Just like to say, like, hey man, like, keep working.
Yeah, just the confidence boost. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Maybe he's a little bit of the like Cam Whitmore style of touchable, where he's like the
sweetener.
He's like part of a deal, but I'm not ready to give up on him after however many games he's actually played in the NBA. Like, I still think he can be good.
I think he has to solve your Fred VanVleet problem. If you trade him. Because, like, in theory, he is your point guard.
Yeah.
To replace Fred. So if you were going to trade Reed Sheppard, that person has to replace Reed and Fred.
Or at the very least, the Aaron Holiday problem.
Yeah.
What Rockets are touchable? What Rockets are untouchable, since trade rumors are heating up with the trade deadline right around the corner? Now we are down to the three most important Houston Rockets. This is not a debate. I think where their importance lies is subjective. I know how Turkey feels about these three guys.
Oh, they're wrong.
I know how some Jalen Green fans feel about these guys, and I know how I feel about Amen Thompson. We're going to start off with Jalen Green. Is Jalen Green touchable?
Yep.
I think he's touchable. He is trending towards being untouchable. I think he has done everything possible that he's been asked to do by Ime Udoka, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. I think he has grown up a lot over the last couple of months, but in particular, just since Udoka took over, Stephen Silas turned this thing into a mess, and I think there was an actual potential that his career was going to wash out if he played with Stephen Silas any longer. He's definitely inconsistent, which leads to him being touchable, but I definitely appreciate what he is, the effort he's put in.
Yeah, I think it's just the standard of trade for Jalen Green would be much higher for me right now. The player I expect in return, if you were going to move him, I expect Jalen Green to be part of a Giannis or, you know, Devin Booker style conversation where it's him, another piece plus draft capital equals elite player. Like, I wouldn't move Jalen Green for De'Aaron Fox because I'm still kind of curious what's left in the tank to learn offensively. So he's tradable for me, but the asking price is high.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the same thing. He's touchable for, like, I don't know, 15 guys in the league, like the top 10, 15, 20 guys in the league. That's where he becomes touchable. Other than that, he is untouchable.
Because, like, and when you get to the playoffs this year and you're going to need a big shot, like they've been going to Amen Thompson these last two games in clutch moments, but Jalen's going to have the ball.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be the most fearless guy on the court. We saw some of the attacking last night. Like, sometimes it's bad fearlessness. But, like, he's going to be, like, you're going to need Jalen Green to score effectively to win playoff series.
Yeah. And just depending on how, you know, the next two guys that we talk about, how the offensive hierarchy kind of settles in, maybe him being the secondary option to one of these guys is more beneficial for him.
Alperen Şengün, touchable or untouchable? I say untouchable. There's one guy in the NBA who can do what he does. I feel like when you have something that unique that sets you apart from 95% of teams in the league, I think you keep this guy as long as you possibly can.
I lean untouchable because the defense has improved significantly.
Yeah, I think that part's been big. And again,
if it hadn't, I'd be like, it's not going to work.
I know a lot of Turkish basketball fans, specifically Turkish Rockets fans, who view apparently Alperen Şengün the same way that we view Michael Jordan. That's something Ime Udoka actually said like a week ago or so. I don't know if I think that's accurate, but hey, okay, it's our countrymen. I side with them from this perspective, though. Like, having Udoka as a coach, it's going to be hard, and he's going to have to continue to learn it. I mean, this is a guy who, when he first came onto the scene, he was whining and crying a lot on the court. Like, he would get pissed off about a lot of different things. He's gotten a little bit better at it. He has to keep getting better at it. And I think really the big issue that could make him touchable is that maybe he and Ime Udoka aren't a fit together.
That is possible.
If this keeps happening, I can't understand how some people that are getting mad about it would say, like, oh, well, maybe Udoka is too much for him and he gets sick of him eventually, the same way that Tom Brady eventually got sick of Bill Belichick.
My biggest question with Alperen Şengün is, now that this is a playoff team, is when the playoffs start and they start attacking him defensively. Like, let's say you match up with the Spurs in the first round of the playoffs. They're going to get Chris Paul on him as much as humanly possible, or De'Aaron Fox when they trade for him. Like, if he becomes a liability to where you have to take him out of games, like Rudy Gobert would get taken out of games, then he becomes tradable for me. But for now, he's untradable.
Last, certainly not least, Amen Thompson. Completely untouchable.
Yeah.
Possibly Michael Jordan.
Unless Luka's on the phone.
It could happen.
Unless
F that. I don't want Luka. No, I don't want that. Luka? I don't want that flopping Euro trash.
Jokic.
F that.
We got Jokic at home.
We got baby Jokic.
He's completely untradeable. He is one of the most untradeable players in the NBA right now.
Jokic?
No.
Jokic is definitely untradeable.
Unless the Rockets are offering Şengün. I think Amen Thompson, like, completely untradeable.
Yeah, it's not even close. Like, I can't believe people are still like tweeting poll questions of like, is he going to go back to the bench? What planet do you people live on? This is over.
I mean, we'll play some of the glazing of Amen Thompson done by national media in a moment. Washed Watch Wednesday and garbage time before we get out of here. Who's untouchable in the Houston Rockets? If you want to weigh in on that, we'll respond to some of what you had to say before we get into Washed Watch. Stay put!
ESPN. 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Guys, commenting on our last segment, who's untouchable on the Houston Rockets, from YouTube at ESPN Houston YouTube. Keith said, guys, it's 2025. You have to ask for consent if you want to touch or not touch someone.
No, they don't have no trick clauses. It's okay.
And even if they do.
Yeah, you can just Ryan Presley.
Just Ryan Presley that.
Yeah, just shame him into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they did. A couple other comments as far as who's touchable and who's untouchable on the Houston Rockets. Someone asked if there are rumors about the Rockets trading anybody. For the sound of things, there are no rumors. In fact, they are saying we are standing pat at the trade deadline, and I think that's the way.
Yeah, it's the only real one we have is like the Robert Williams with Portland. The De'Aaron Fox thing, it is going to be challenging to like differentiate like what is opinion and speculation versus what is reported. Because the Houston Rockets are going to be the first team mentioned in any trade scenario going forward. We've already seen it this year with Jimmy Butler and now with De'Aaron Fox. Like anyone time, because they have the draft capital, the players to make all these deals happen. But like De'Aaron Fox reportedly, like, there's mutual interest in San Antonio, which like makes a ton of sense for them. But yeah, there's nothing substantial right now for the Rockets besides the fact that they don't want to trade anyone.
Yeah, the only substantial reporting they have is from everyone who has sources inside the Rockets front office saying not interested in making a star trade at the deadline. Like you said with Robert Williams, wouldn't be surprised if there's some shoring up of the bench or some adding to the bench rotation. But as far as a star, as far as any changes to the starting lineup, I think Amen Thompson moving into the starting lineup is the last one that they're making for this year, barring any injuries.
I am curious if things would be different if you could trade Jalen and Alpi right now. Like, if that would change
to me, it's more of a supply problem than a demand problem.
Yeah, because there's Fox, and no one wants to be in the Jimmy Butler business. Yeah. Like, there is a way the Rockets could acquire Jimmy Butler without trading a young player or giving up good draft capital. I would hate that.
But if that's if he's not with the Heat, I think, too. I think Pat Riley is not going to back down on this one, right? I feel like he might be kind of backed into a corner at this moment in time, just given how bad things have got. But I also think that Pat Riley's too stubborn to potentially look at what the Rockets have and not try to get something.
I think specifically with the Rockets, I think they might just like go, just be like, get this guy out of here. Like some expiring deals, maybe some draft picks, and like, let's keep it moving. But it's a little bit what the Celtics back, you know, the mid 2010s ran into, where they had so much of the Brooklyn stuff and so many young talented players that every time a star deal came up or a star trade candidate came up, it was like, oh, we want that stuff. We want the good stuff. Don't give us the bad stuff. We can get bad stuff from somewhere else. And that's what happened. Basically, the Celtics just wouldn't make a trade. Danny Ainge wouldn't sacrifice what he thought was high level assets to make one of these trades. So yeah, I don't think that you're going to get a secondary star kind of trade. I think it's going to be a home run or little moves around the edges.
Yeah, the only thing that the only wrinkle over the next, you know, like 7 days or whatever it is now at this point between today and next Friday or next Thursday is if Jimmy Butler can't be traded to Phoenix, which is where he wants to go, because the problem is Bradley Beal, who has the no trade clause, who no one wants in the league. It's probably the worst contract in the NBA right now. there could be a pivot from Phoenix, but not Devin Booker. Like, Kevin Durant could become available. I think there's a chance.
I think that's a – because if the pivot were to happen, it would happen by now.
Yeah.
Durant, nah.
I think that's an offseason after they lose in the play-in tournament or lose in the first
round. Whoa, don't put that evil on them, Ricky Bobby. Or unless you're talking about the Suns losing
the
play-in tournament.
Yeah. Okay. No, the Suns are going to have to throw in – like, just going to have to fold their hand at some point because – throughout this whole Kevin Durant experience, they haven't done anything.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah. And this offseason's where, you know, there could be more movement. But also, like Sean said with Boston, like, there also just might not be. I mean, this new second apron thing, it causes a wrinkle that makes all of this way more challenging. Last season, Jimmy Butler could have been traded to any team in the NBA, and it wouldn't have mattered. Now, over half the league, like, he pretty much can't go to. So it's really complicated, like how all this stuff is going to play out, and if I was the Rockets, like I'm firmly waiting because like whether it's Booker or Giannis or Steph Curry, like I would just rather bet on this core group and waiting for a bigger domino to fall.
I will make an exception for Giannis.
Oh, I just mean like right now. Like
I will make an exception for Giannis right now. That is it.
And that's another team that. Hey, they lose in the first round.
They're going to blow it up.
Yeah, they could blow it. So there's a lot of teams that are kind of teetering, and that's why I think the offseason is more of the hunting time for the Rockets. Not just it makes sense. It's also like, yeah, there's just not – it doesn't just make sense on the Rockets side to see what you got. It's also like right now, those guys aren't available because they haven't failed in the playoffs yet.
Yeah, and I think we'll be able to tell, too, by like which teams make moves, like who's the most desperate. Like – if the Warriors pulled off a Jimmy Butler trade or Milwaukee trades for Zach LaVine or like these moves that are being like reportedly and like are close or people are talking about, like it seems like teams that are all very desperate.
Yeah. It's all the teams that
like very desperate.
This is the last move really before they blow it up.
Yeah.
I got a kick out of this report yesterday from NY Post Lewis. I don't know who that person is. Don't care to know. The Brooklyn Nets are reportedly more interested in pursuing Giannis Antetokounmpo than De'Aaron Fox or Jimmy Butler. And, you know, I think I'm the same way. I would rather pursue strong, independent woman Sydney Sweeney than what is available on Hinge. That is literally what that tweet is.
Yeah.
Like, what, are you seriously putting him in the same conversation as those two? Like, Jimmy Butler's like 40, no offense.
It's also like we don't need those reports anymore, like with modern age. We all know
everyone wants Giannis.
Yes, everyone in the NBA, including the Milwaukee Bucks,
the Celtics
wants
would
Giannis.
Take Giannis. The Celtics would do it. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's more of a like, what? Why does Giannis want to go to the Nets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why the Rockets are a great destination. Like, they are.
Because they can trade stuff and still be good afterwards.
Yes.
Yes.
It's not like when Carmelo got traded to the Knicks and all the good pieces went to Denver and the Knicks were trash after. Like, you could trade three of these guys for an elite player, and you're still one of the best two teams in the Western Conference next year, if not the best team. Like, it's the future is incredibly bright for the Rockets, even if they do exactly what Boston did, and that's just stand pat.
Yeah, like, that's the way.
That's like the boring options that
boring
they don't
good.
Make any trades, and they grow naturally. And it's a slower build. I mean, not even that slow, but, you know, you think about the Boston Celtics. They won their first one 24. They won last year. What, they drafted Brown in 16, Tatum in 17? So it was like, yeah, 7 years of – and they're a little different because they made the playoffs all those years. But it is a slower build of running your head against the wall in the playoffs until you – eventually break through. And the Rockets, again, have never played a playoff game with their group currently.
That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Every Wednesday, we do a little segment called Washed Watch Wednesday. Who be washed? Joe's going to tell you.
We all know something or someone that's washed.
He was a bum then, and he's a bum now.
From dating apps.
Swipe, 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 swipe.
To Skip Bayless.
It's my turn!
To Scott Boras. It's time to find out who's on Washed Watch on Gallant and George.
All right, this first one might be challenging for Paul.
Oh, no.
I know you don't like chocolate.
I can tolerate certain kinds of chocolate, okay. But for the longest time, I did not like chocolate because as a kid, I tried to eat oatmeal raisin cookies, and they were oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. Traumatized me forever.
Now, I remember we were together around Halloween at a remote at Bobcat. You tried a Reese's Pieces for the first time.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Did you like peanut butter in your candy?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm going to nominate for Watch this week is creativity. M&M's has released a peanut butter and jelly M&M. Why are we doing this?
That sounds actually good.
Really?
Is there chocolate?
It's chocolate, peanut butter, and jelly.
I try it.
Yeah.
I'd be more willing to try it than just chocolate and peanut butter. Because I once famously was paid $1 to eat one M&M, and I still gagged when I ate it.
That's so crazy.
Famously.
It'll be the start of his memoir.
Seventh grade.
I wish I got paid $1 to eat an M&M. Yeah. Every M&M I choke down.
A dollar could get you a soda. And yeah. We're not talking a 12 ounce. We're talking a 20 ounce.
You can't even buy sodas in schools anymore, apparently. I didn't know that.
Change back.
Yeah, get a vanilla Coke for $1.
Vanilla Coke is so great.
In the vending machines. They used to have it in the vending machines.
So this is not a washed idea?
No, I think it's a great idea.
Why is it washed?
I don't know. It's just like trying too hard.
I think the gimmicky, like, you know, seasonal candy or seasonal like flavor for like Oreos and stuff. Like some of them are like, all right, we're really running out of ideas here. Peanut butter jelly makes sense. Peanut butter and chocolate goes together. Peanut butter and jelly goes together. Peanut butter and chocolate and jelly. I don't know. It's worth a shot.
You got to try hard now. RFK, assuming he was able to make it through getting yelled at today. He's about to change a lot of the candy industry.
Yeah, all the so red 40's gone.
Now you're going to just, yeah, you got to, well, a lot of dyes are gone. So they're going to have to start throwing bleep at the wall. And I love peanut butter. Thing I do, and I know that there's the Ted Lasso, if you've watched that TV show, Ted Lasso always has a jar of peanut butter open in his house. Now that's disgusting. There's going to be flies everywhere.
Yeah, close it.
Yeah, that's classic Nebraska, which is I think where he's from. Nebraskans do that, you know, lived in a cornfield. Yeah. But I like to have a jar of peanut butter in the fridge, and I like to like get a scoop of it and just put it on a spoon and just eat it on the spoon. Yeah. Cold peanut butter. It's really good.
Because like I will do that too. I will just get like a scoop of peanut butter and just like
if it's I'm almost like ice cream.
If I'm hungry and I don't have like actual food, I'll just have a couple spoonfuls of peanut
butter. Yeah, that's what I do too. Yeah.
Great. Sometimes I just do just like a peanut butter sandwich. Like just if I just have like if I have bread, I might just go straight peanut.
I've never had just a peanut butter sandwich. Normally I throw something else on there. Yeah.
I have. I did it for a while, and then I had an Uncrustable, and I was like, oh god, I gotta get rid of these Uncrustables. These are like crack.
Oh, they're so good.
It's been a while since I'd had peanut butter and jelly.
They're incredible.
The peanut butter and grape jelly Uncrustable. Yeah. That is some damn good.
Let me tell you, I have ten of them in my fridge. My freezer right now.
One of my favorite things about being a dad. Is all the stuff that you stop eating that comes back into your life.
Ooh.
Like goldfish, fruit snacks. Yeah.
You don't have to stop eating Uncrustables.
No, you don't.
I still get them all the time.
It's a huge mistake that we all stop eating things.
It's 10 o'clock and you're like, I could use something, but I don't want to like actually make like a sandwich for myself. Yeah. Just thaw this baby out. Let's go to town.
Lawsuits. Our lawsuits washed. A 400-pound female rapper is suing Lyft because the driver refused to let her in the car because she wouldn't fit. And now she's suing Lyft because of this. I think lawsuits are now officially washed. It's my car.
Well.
What's my car?
I don't know what the Lyft terms of service.
I'm assuming that since now when you book a Lyft, you pay right away. There probably was a little bit of time before.
Oh, you do?
The money gets sent. Yeah, it'll charge your card before.
Does Uber
the
do the same
starts.
Thing?
It does the same for Uber.
Yeah. I didn't know that actually.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Your card will get charged like right away. It'll calculate what the actual price is supposed to be. It's not like a cab fare.
But like but that means you're suing for like what, like $30? So she's suing because she got discriminated against.
Right.
What was the car?
It was a small car. I saw the video. Okay. It actually was a small car.
I think that matters.
And Joe, you're underselling her weight. She's 489 pounds.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
I just saw a 400-pound woman.
She's also a rapper.
That is...
Her name is Dank DeMoss. She had requested a ride to a Lions watch party The driver arrived, told her he couldn't give her a ride because of her weight. She recorded the encounter, saying, "I can fit in this car." To which he responded, "Believe me, you can't." He said the tires couldn't handle the weight, apologized, and mentioned ordering an Uber XL.
Guys, lawsuits are washed. She has no ground to stand on. Drive your own car.
No, she does. She does. She actually does. It's America. You can sue anybody, honey.
I mean, you can sue anybody.
You can sue anyone. It's not a wash thing.
I don't know.
You know what? You know what? It's not washed.
He didn't let her in the car.
It's not washed because some lawyers are going to make money off of this.
Oh, this guy, Lyft is definitely going to lose. I know they're going to lose this argument.
This does not make lawsuits wash. This is America.
I just think you should be able to sue over everything. You'll get your money back.
Listen, I think people like this are the absolute scum of the earth. I think if you're that disgusting, and yeah, disgusting, I will fat shame there. If you look like that, like you have no self-control, and the idea that we all have to do things to accommodate you is ridiculous. I see people that have gone viral on social media, plus-size park hoppers. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
They go into parks. Theme parks across the country, and they're like determining whether or not they can sit, and then they just eat and they like review the food, and they never even add any nuance to the food because they're clearly people that have no idea anything related to food. They're complete noobs, but people watch this stuff for reasons I can't understand. Fascination. There's too many people in our country that are like this, that are entitled as a result of this, like they need to be a protected class. No. You should take care of yourself better. You're putting a strain on our hospitals.
Like, what about my car?
Also,
but if you're a Lyft driver, though, like I think she has a case here.
Also, calling yourself a rapper when I pulled up her Spotify or the like Spotify artist page for her, she doesn't have a single song over 10,000 listens, and this is after being going viral for this.
Maybe honestly, this could be the event though that makes her go big.
Well, she's already big. she only has 1,200 monthly listeners.
Well, it's going to be more now.
I don't think she can get any bigger, Paul.
I don't think she can
still fit into a Hyundai Elantra. I don't think she can get any bigger.
I just feel like this should really be like open and shut. Like, okay, go sit in the car and see what happens.
It's hard to shut the door.
If the guy's car breaks, you lose the lawsuit.
So she's getting 20 listens per pound.
Yeah.
Up that ratio.
Let's just slide into garbage time. We don't need to do the open. We do have some unfortunate news, and it involves our sweet prince. Dylan Brooks has been fined $25,000 for obscene language after our beloved Houston Rockets took down my beloved Boston Celtics. You might be wondering, Paul, why are you saying our beloved and my beloved? How does that make sense? I'm a basketball swinger. It's okay.
I mean, it's just sports swingers.
I'm on the bandwagon until the finals. If the Celtics play the Rockets in the finals, then I will have to make a choice. But that's not going to happen, most likely. So there you go.
I think you're in danger.
But Dylan Brooks has been fined for $25,000.
Soft. You just said the F word?
I thought it was going to be because of the Trae Young thing.
He did say MF-er not once, but twice.
Well, then that's... Is Space City Home Network going to take the responsibility of this?
Honestly, yeah, Vanessa. Yeah. Vanessa Richardson.
I was going to say the producers, but...
Vanessa should have covered the mic.
Ryan Hollins, you played in the NBA. You got some money.
Mm.
Stop talking about Aura and let's pass the hat.
All right, yeah.
Help our guy fill in the villain.
They kept saying it last night.
No, I'm in.
I'm out.
I honestly, at first I hated it, but now that I know it's a bit, I'm in.
Yeah, now they're doing it enough to where it's annoying people.
And that means I'm in.
Yeah, I'm back.
I'm out. I'm one of the people annoyed.
Also garbage. Listen, the softness of Turkish Rockets fans with Alperen Şengün. You guys need to grow up. You really do. They're winning games. Oh, we got benched. Yeah, and he scored the game-winning bucket.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
But he needs to be out there for 42 minutes.
48. Let's see what happens.
Okay, yeah.
Şengün plays all 48 minutes. I'm sure that'll go great. Anyway. For our texters, for our callers, for our YouTubers and Twitchers, and for everybody else listening, for Sean Mapes behind the glass hand, for Joe George, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful rest of your Wednesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
Pre Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.